they murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, here we go. The preseason is officially over. A shortened preseason, three games only this time around. But hey, here we are once again. The regular season is almost here. We are just a mere few days away from the regular season starting. But we got to go over things that have happened since we talked last. So joining me as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm relieved that the preseason is over, but not without some casualties and some disappointment. Wow. What a huge blow. And we all know it's Dobbins. And wow. I mean, you can tell my loss for words and frustration. I feel sorry for the guy, man. Young talent, but he's going to bounce back. I mean, this isn't the end all be all, but there was huge expectations for him in his career, huge expectations for the running game. What can you do there? I mean, star running back goes down. You hate to see it to anybody, any team, any starter. Huge blow to the Ravens before they even take a official snap in the regular season.
Yeah, this one's rough, man. I was on my way back from Virginia on Saturday night listening to the game, and to hear Jerry Sandusky bring up, he's like, oh God, it's Dobbins. You know, he's down on the field. It doesn't look good. Judging by his facial expression, you know, he looks like he's in a lot of pain. And I mean, I was hoping it was just something simple. Maybe he'll miss a week or two, but no, he's out for the entire year. He's going to miss the entire season. This guy was supposed to be the number one running back. He was, you know, the world. He was going to set the world on fire. Peter Schrager, Good Morning Football, he had him as his number two pick for your fantasy leagues out there. This was going to be a huge year for J.K. Dobbins and for the Ravens. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. And a lot of people are pointing their fingers at John Harbaugh for having J.K. Dobbins out there, for him playing. I don't know if I would be so bold as to say this is Harbaugh's fault and he shouldn't have been out there on the field. And we know how bad the Washington FedEx Field is, and everybody always gets injured there. But you know, this is football. These things happen, unfortunately, and I wish there was a different outcome for J.K. Dobbins, but this is the way it happened, and unfortunately, you know, we see these in preseason. You see more injuries in preseason than you do during the regular season, and this sucks. This is a huge blow to this team. Luckily, we do have some talent like Gus Edwards, who is now going to be stepping up. He said in an interview earlier this week, I never saw myself as the number two. I always saw myself as a number one. That's the kind of attitude you want from a guy like that. And you've got guys that you were really impressed with as well in this preseason that are going to now look like they're going to be on the 53-man roster, and they're going to get some playing time. So this really sucks. Obviously, we all want J.K. Dobbins on this team. He makes this team better, but this is the way it is, and you know, it's the Ravens' mantra, next man up, and that's going to be Gus Edwards.
Absolutely, man, and you kind of just don't want to dismiss it, right? Next man up, I mean, that's mentality, right? Every time someone gets hurt, okay, who's filling in for him, right? But you hit it right there. It's unfortunate, but unfortunately, it can happen as well. Two unfortunate incidents, but you probably understand where a lot of fans' frustration lies. I mean, obviously knee-jerk reactions, and you've seen it across the board. As soon as it happens, right? Oh, this is why you don't play players in the preseason. Oh, really? Okay. Did everybody forget about what happened to Cam Akers? Take the two players, Cam Akers and Dobbins. They're both going into their second year, young talent, and they're both out on IR. One played in preseason, one didn't. What's the difference there? What about Rashad Bateman? What about Marlon Humphrey? I know they're not season-ending injuries, but players get hurt in camp. I mean, our first-round draft pick wasn't even on the field at all during the preseason. Because why? Because he got hurt where? He didn't get hurt in preseason, Brandon. He got hurt in camp. And again, I'm not trying to be argumentative with people. I kind of like to get people thinking. If you haven't gotten that about me already, is I kind of recognize your point. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But what about this? I'm always like, okay, that's fine, but what about that? That's how I operate. Like, okay, I always like to let you see the, or try to get you to see the other side of the perspective instead of just, again, coming back down to opinions. Everybody's entitled to an opinion. But again, and it's laced with frustrations, laced with disappointment. We all get, we're there. Me and you agree, whether we agree, disagree that, you know, players shouldn't play in preseason is another point, or we don't have to agree with everybody there, but it's like, recognizing that it's a disappointing incident and these things happen. But I posted these. Okay, so my question to fans, right, who, oh, this is why players shouldn't play in the preseason. My point is, what would you have basically the NFL or the teams do? Would you rather the starter, and I'm going to throw scenarios out here and see where we want to go with this. Would you rather the starter, his last snap, whether it was an offense or defense, let's say Lamar, Dobbins, and all the big stars and starters took their last snap against Buffalo in January. So they shouldn't take their first snap until they line up in Las Vegas. So they shouldn't practice. They shouldn't line up against each other's offense and defense. They shouldn't practice this. They shouldn't do that. I mean, we've seen players on the field just drop without even contact. Like, you hear that phrase, non-contact injuries, right? You know, we've seen it. We've seen a Dennis Pitta get hurt even in a live football game, and it was actual regular season game, untouched, and he hurt his hip. We've seen players go down where, you know, and it happened to me in basketball. I'm not an NBA all-star, but I went up for a jump shot. I did a jump shot and came down and rolled my ankle, my own body weight. It wasn't nobody hitting me. No one's around me. It was a freak accident. And here's the other part. When they sit out, remember what happened in 2019 when Harbaugh did play starters in a meaningless football game against the Cleveland Browns. We still won the game anyway to go 14-2. They had a bye week off. So essentially the Ravens starters didn't play for 3 weeks. And then they came out flat against Tennessee. So then, and then you heard, oh, well, they came out rusty again. So whether it's a regular season game or not, at that point it's meaningless. It might as well be a preseason game, number 5 at that point, because they still have 4 in that season. Do you want to throw the starters out there? And it's like, pick one. You can't have it both ways. And that's what I'm not upset at anybody or lashing out at anybody, but that's the problem. It's like, you're speaking one thing, but you can't have it all. You can't have it both ways. Either the starter's going to have to play at some point in a meaningless football game, or they're going to just not play at all and come out rusty. And then that's the product you're going to get. I mean, pick one. I rest my case on that. I'm not going to go on a 20-minute rant. It's not warranted, but I just feel strongly passionate about that, because it's like, that's my frustration with it. It's like, I listen to all your frustrations. Yeah, I get it. That's why you shouldn't play starters, especially 2 weeks away for the season. But what would you have them do? They need reps. You can't go into Monday Night Football without anybody getting his first glance. But I remember last week, I was on record saying I would be surprised if starters play. So I thought starters were going to play at all preseason. That wasn't my decision. That's the team's and the coach's decision. But when I heard 20 minutes for the game that Lamar is actually starting, I'm like, what? Lamar is actually starting? But even getting away from that and forcing for Dobbins, Dobbins actually played the whole preseason. He played last week. You didn't complain when he's playing against Carolina. Why? Because he finally got hurt. So there's all, oh, now it's justified. But my moral of the story about all this is, and you heard me say it online, be consistent, not reactive. If you don't like starters playing the preseason, you want to put your opinions out there on social media for all to read, then be consistent about it. Then let us hear from preseason week 1, why are the starters in there? They're going to get hurt. Go on to tweet and Facebook that. the Carolina game? Why is Dobbins in the Carolina game? He's going to get hurt. No, everything's fine. It's all of a sudden, his knees popped and his muscles popping, and he's out for the season. Now you want to cry about it. No, that's why I said be consistent in your reactions. Don't be reactive to things that happen, because again, with the world we're living in, social media, you're going to get called out. And I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying you can't have it both ways. And that's what I rest about it. But it is frustrating. But unfortunately, Brandon, like you said, in the beginning, it is a part of the program. It's preseason football. Unfortunately, it was just at the end of reps. And you know what I saw? I don't know if you observed this. I felt, and I don't know the Ravens' plans for preseason game number 3 against Washington, but I felt since when the J.K. Dobbins injury happened, I felt like Harbaugh was like, fine. He couldn't wait to get out of the starters out of that game as quick, because I was surprised to see Huntley come in for the series number 2. And I'm like, what? And then again, it was like, in my mind, it was like justified from the last piece I put out in the second show this year. It was like, what's the benefit of running Lamar out for one series? We already know what he can do. And we've seen it. He was winging the ball over the place. Him and Mark Andrews looked like the all-star connection, like Mahomes and Kelsey. It was like, okay, like we know what they can do. So again, I felt like at that point, the starters were probably going to go longer. And then when Dominic got hurt, Harbaugh's like, nope, let's escape before anything else happens. So that's kind of what I observed through it all. But man, this is unfortunate, but he's got a young career ahead, and this isn't the first time this has happened to any specific player. Happens all the time, unfortunately. But again, there's players that are dealing with these kind of ailments, but it is unfortunate. It has to happen to a player like Dobbins. And not to discount the second or third stringers or practice squaders. Anytime a player gets hurt, it's detrimental. It is disappointing. It's frustrating. No matter if they're all the way up here, all the way down here on the scale of positional players and starters. But it's 53 men for a reason. The practice squaders add to that. But he'll be back. He'll be back strong or other. But my last point here is, look at my notes. You remember a great running back with the Ravens, Jamal Lewis. Sure. Rookie here in Baltimore. Remember, he got hurt before the start of the next season, 2001. What did he do in the next 2 years? He had over 1,000 yards in 2002. But what happened in 2003? He had over 2,000 yards. Third most in, I think he's right now stands as the third most in NFL history in one season. So he came back stronger than ever. Players just come back stronger than ever. There has been many, many of stars that had these injuries. So we wish Dobbins the best. Sucks he's got to miss out. But just like last year, remember, Ronnie Stanley went down mid-year. Unfortunately, it sucks. And even that was a regular season game against Pittsburgh. But they made the playoffs. They won a playoff game, and then they went to the division round last year. So injuries happen. They happen to anybody, whether in the practice squad or their starter. But like you said, next man up. There was a book written about it. It's okay. Next guy, let's plug him in and play. And not to say Dobbins is never going to lose his job, but this is a chance for us to see what Gus Edwards. We already know what Gus Edwards can bring to the table. That 1-2 punch with Dobbins. Yes, the running game takes a blow, but I feel like Dobbins was added to that late last year. Remember, Ingram was still kind of in the mix. Remember, in the beginning of the year, he had a good game against Houston in week 2, and then kind of Dobbins saw that merging.
Yeah, Dobbins was at the beginning of the season. He was the fourth guy on the depth chart.
Yeah, like,
he was
even
way down there. Yeah,
so that's why I'm saying, like, I feel like, yeah, it sucks, and we know what the talent Dobbins can bring in this dynamic offense, and it proves it. Right, the running game was fine before Dobbins. Adding him was awesome. So now he's not there. Just go back to where it was, minus Ingram and minus Dobbins. Let Jakey have the ball. My boy Tyson Williams is balling out. He made the squad, as we'll cover this later and show some sneak peeks. He made the roster. He's RB2 on the team. I think we're going to be okay. And you know what Lamar can do. You don't want Lamar running at another 1,000. Who knows? That was a trivia question that was out there. Will Lamar running another 1,000 yards this year to make it 3 in a row? Who knows? But you want to take the pressure off him. But I don't think it changes the scheme much, because Gus Edwards gets the job done. He's a north and south runner. He runs with finesse. Not to discredit Dobbins' injury, it's okay putting him in the shadows, but now you bring a spotlight on Gus Edwards, and this is going to be awesome to see Gus the Bus really drive the running game this year. And again, there's where that injury, not to say Gus is going to take over starting job, no, but you're going to see, like what I was explaining to my point wasn't I lost it, was Dobbin, any injury that happens, there's always an opportunity for somebody to emerge. Just like how Ben Roethlisberger was born because Tommy Mass got hurt at the Ravens' expense, and just how Tom Brady was born, Drew Bledsoe went down and Tom Brady comes back and Drew Bledsoe to get the starting job back. You see it all the time. Gus Edwards could be the next superstar in the waiting, and then what happens is there, the Ravens have a good problem, right? They got two great running backs. Move on from one, trade one. Who knows what they can do there? So it is a blessing. It's a blessing and a curse. It's a curse to lose Dobbins, but it's a blessing that we have a Gus Edwards to back him up and not anything less than that. So I'm excited about what the running game can get going.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we do have, you know, other puzzle pieces that can kind of fit in there. Dobbins, though, I mean, like I said, this team
replaces that talent, though.
Yeah, this team is a much better team with J.K. Dobbins on it. So to lose him, that is a massive blow. So it really sucks, but it does put more pressure on Lamar. I do think Lamar can handle it, though. This is kind of like, you know, a wait and see. Let's see what's going to happen in the next couple weeks, and let's see how these guys do without Dobbins there. It's very unfortunate. Now, Harbaugh was asked earlier this week. We asked people on our Facebook page as well, do you see the Ravens kind of bringing somebody else in? We know the Saints released the veteran running back Devontae Freeman, and I asked everybody on the call Facebook page, hey, is this somebody you think that they could bring in now that Dobbins is out? Josh Brinkley, our good friend, just wrote, God, no. So I think everyone seems really happy with Tyson Williams and with Gus Edwards being kind of like that 1-2 punch. Is there anybody out there on the free market, the free agency market, that, or maybe somebody you think the Ravens might trade for to bring in to fill out that running back position? Or do you think they really are happy with what they have?
Yeah, me. No, I'm just kidding. There was reports, obviously, Baltimore native Todd Gurley was brought in earlier this offseason. There were reports that Gurley's name was thrown out very early, but then also squashed that reports where Ravens were not interested in Todd Gurley. Le'Veon Bell's name was thrown out there, obviously linked to the Ravens once before. I see you're shaking your head. No, like you're trying to eat broccoli or something. Like,
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Broccoli. Don't know if you anybody out there loves your vegetables, but no. You put broccoli in front of me, I'm going to scoff at it like you just did with Gurley and Bell. No. That was a nice arrogant no. Sorry, Le'Veon's going to really come after you for saying that. No. I really like what they have. Again, Gus Edwards, Tyson Williams, Justice Hill, Lamar Jackson. Tyson Williams had a great preseason. And Gus Edwards, you saw it there on Saturday night. Gus Edwards was really running the ball. And, yeah, man, the running game's going to be okay. And I really like what the Ravens have. So I'm glad they're not looking out there. If anything, I would love the Gurley ties just because he's hometown, maybe, you know, be on the roster as an in-case basis. And any adding more depth to the running back position, I say this lightly because who knows what schemes, but you feel like it takes pressure off Lamar running the football, right? Because it's like we want to – Lamar's a great athlete. You don't want not to run him at all, but you want to run him in certain situations. Then, and if he has to improvise on the fly, it's a passing break situation, passing situation breaks down with the pocket and, you know, has to run, and some of those are designed, but – I feel like as Lamar progresses in his career, I want him to be running less and less and less. And I think we all want that and pass more and more and just be more, you know, cognizant of the situation. But again, the football game's got to come to you at that point. That's another discussion for another day. But yeah, I think the Ravens are really going to be good. I think we're going to be really pleased with what we have in house right now.
Now, one of the good things to come out of preseason, or at least the last game, was the fact that John Harbaugh and the Ravens were able to beat the Lombardi streak, and we are now at 20 wins in a row in the preseason for John Harbaugh. No other coach has been able to hit 20 wins in a row in the preseason. I know that title means absolutely nothing, but it is pretty cool, and it is nice to have John Harbaugh's name kind of written in history there. And it's going to be a difficult one to beat. I mean, you know, no other coach out there has it right now, and they're going to have to, you know, somebody new is going to have to come in and take that crown. But this was, this was something. You know, you inspire players to play for you, even if they're not full-time guys yet. Be able to walk away with 20 wins, that's a big deal. So congrats to the Ravens and John Harbaugh, 20 wins in a row.
It's certainly, again, because it's a preseason record, and I know it's not, it doesn't provide a lot of fanfare to talk about it, right? Because it's an unofficial, really, record. It's like, okay, preseason win. And again, we alluded to it. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it means something because I think because it was tied to a Packers Lombardi record.
Sure.
And that's why it means something. And, you know, and that's the problem. Like, not to discount that if it happened to another team. We went through the last show why we feel it's impressive enough and why it's a substantial situation and record. Not going to get back into that. But, yeah, it was certainly hidden behind the line, the spotlight of the big bad news was the Dobbins injury and everything like that. But there was a lot of good that came out of Saturday night. We saw Gus Edwards run well. Tyson Williams ran well. Mark Andrews and Lamar are looked like in midseason form. That they're going to be a beast tandem. The offensive line, I felt, struggled with some pads. And I'm going to be flip-flopping here and just going weeding through the good and the bad here, weaving in and out. The offensive line, though, did struggle with pass protection. Lamar was sacked on two consecutive plays to kind of end that drive. That drive was looking perfect. And there was like an incomplete pass. I think it was the screen pass to Dobbins. No, it was the screen pass to Dobbins. There was a sack in there, and then there was another sack or something. I don't know if it was on the same exact play sequence that those three plays happened, but it was like the drive came to an abrupt end, and there was that. But the very good that came out of that was not only the run game solidified with Tyson Williams and all that, but Huntley solidified QB2 status. 5 total touchdowns. I literally thought it was – if you really weren't paying attention to the game, you would think Lamar was out there. You know, at first glance, it was like a blur, and you're like, is Lamar Jackson still playing? Because they're flicking the ball over the place and running it. He ran for a touchdown and threw for 4. A dominant preseason performance, the lockup at QB2 position right behind Lamar. I love the fact that Huntley played well and really solidified the role. I mean, we knew every show and every time we looked at the highlights and talking about him, like, Huntley's got this job. It's Huntley's job to lose. With him playing like that on Saturday night, I feel like the Ravens are in good hands, albeit we get it, right? Take it with a grain of salt because we know it's against second and third stringers bleeding in there, and it's not against a good starting unit, but they're NFL players for a reason. You know, they're the elite of the elite. They're the first, second, third, or practice squaders. There's a small percentage that plays in the NFL, and they're there for a reason, and they're all professionals. They're all paid for what they do, and Huntley did a great job. I was impressed.
Tyler Huntley definitely did a great job. I liked what I saw in games 2 and 3 of the preseason. I think he did a wonderful job. I mean, you kind of saw Lamar cheering him on the sidelines when your QB1 is that happy for you. I think that's a really good sign that these guys work well together. He wants to see him succeed, so I like seeing that. Cam Newton was a guy who I thought was going to be QB1 for the Patriots. It seemed like that was what was really going to happen. Mac Jones, they said that he earned the spot and he outplayed Cam Newton. And we know Cam missed 5 days due to a potential COVID case. So he missed that. And, you know, Mac Jones, unfortunately for Cam, took that opportunity and kind of ran with it. But I brought up to you when I saw that Cam Newton was released, would the Ravens potentially want to bring him in as a backup QB position? He's a veteran. He's got a lot of skills. He beat the Ravens last year. Is there something that Lamar maybe could pick up from him? So I threw it out to you. I threw it out to our Facebook page as well. Josh Day said, would his massive ego accept being a backup QB? That's an interesting point right there.
Great one.
We don't really like a lot of big egos in Baltimore. It's more of a team mentality, and Cam, he's been known to not have that team mentality. Greg Jordan said, I think Roman could find a use for him. Scott Day said, I'll take Tyler Huntley all day, every day. So we have a lot of people out here that are very happy about Tyler Huntley. We have some people out here thinking maybe he could do something. I'd like to see what he could do with Lamar at the right price tag. However, after watching Good Morning Football, they kind of explained that if he were to take up a backup QB position right now, he would pretty much be playing for nothing because he's getting money from his New England contract. So he's not going to take up a backup QB position. I assume he's going to be waiting it out a couple weeks to see if someone were to get hurt and then go and be a QB1 somewhere else. You know, Houston's kind of a mess right now. You potentially see him maybe going to Houston. But we talked about it over text. I want to ask you, what do you think? It's not going to happen. Let's preface that right now. Cam Newton's not coming into the Baltimore Ravens organization. He's not going to work with Lamar. But is he the type of talent that you would want to see maybe work with Lamar in a veteran way, have him be a QB2? What do you think some of the pros and cons would be to bring him in, even though he's definitely not coming?
Yeah, the pros would be, like you said before, bringing him in as a veteran presence. He's played in a Super Bowl. You know, unfortunately, he did lose that to Peyton Manning. I mean,
he got kind of embarrassed in that Super Bowl.
He did. And the Panthers were 15-1 that year. One game better than the Ravens, best record 14-2. So, I mean, Carolina, he's been on a winning football team. He's been to the promised land. Didn't win it, but he was there. He's had some great years. Obviously, we know, you know, he's got this thing. I think what the added benefit is because he has the same skill set, just like how RG3 was brought in.
Right.
If in like, what was it? His name, Scott, that said that about his ego. Who said it about his ego? Who was it?
That was Josh Day.
Josh Day. See, it's like Josh Day about his ego. It's kind of like the RG3 thing. RG3 accepted his role. RG3 accepted his role as that backup, saying, okay, and he just accepted it. They're like, that's where I'm at, and accepted that. And I think, you know, from Lamar's predecessor, Joe had to accept that too. You know, Joe had that fire. He went to start, and now he's kind of like, okay, I got to be the backup somewhere. So can Cam do that? I don't think it'll happen because, like, was it Scott had said at the end, we all love Tyler Huntley and what he can do. And I feel like if Tyler Huntley stepped in for Trace McSorley in the preseason, and obviously for Lamar Stick, because Lamar wasn't going to get a lot of snaps in this preseason, we know that for a fact. And if Huntley kind of did pedestrian, and let's say, who cares about the streak, but let's say the Ravens got blown out in all three games, or really just they flat on their face, didn't have the offensive movement, didn't move the ball, I can see him probably being more proactive to do that. But
right.
Again, just like with the running game with the veterans out there, I think the Ravens are going to be happy with what they have, keeping Trace on the practice squad, running with two official QBs on the game day roster in case one gets hurt. They'll run with one during the game and then maybe elevate Trace McSorley up and then kind of work that. Now, I think Cam, you know, from what I know about his career and about who he is as a player just by observing him in the NFL these last years, and with that ego – no, I think he wants to start. Unless he really comes here and understands his role and understands that it's a winning culture and he has an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, and the Ravens do have a Super Bowl roster. The idea of it sounds good on paper because then let's say if you have him on the roster, right, then you have an Huntley, a Lamar, and a Cam Newton are all three pretty much the same type of quarterback, and it helps all around. But number one, I don't see the Ravens doing it. Number two, because I got texted right away, that's a typical Ravens move. It's a Ravens move on paper because I'm like, that's great. Veteran quarterback that has Lamar skills gets released just like an RG3. Why don't we sign his backup? But I don't think believe that it's – I don't believe that Cam Newton wants to accept that kind of role unless him and his agent or he just comes to epiphany and it happens. But I just don't see it. I don't think there's mutual interest. Even if he were to wake up and accept that on his own, I don't think there's interest with the Ravens there. And even the Wizards for the Ravens, I don't think he would meet them in that place. It's got to be a good marriage, just like it was with the RG3 situation. So I like it, but I think I kind of agree. I kind of like your agree, Booth. I like the idea of it, but I agree. I don't see it happening, but I also love Tyra Huntley, what he can do stepping in for Lamar. So all around.
There's definitely pros and cons about bringing a guy like Cam in as a QB2. Number two, he would have to accept that as being a number two. But like in this situation, even if he was up for coming in as being a QB2, I don't know if the pros outweigh the cons. Like there is some good stuff there. I think he would help out Lamar in some ways, but also like you said, he's got the ego issues. He hasn't been the same player since that Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. Pros, cons, I don't know. I kind of feel like the cons kind of outweigh the pros here. That's why you wouldn't bring him in. But he's still very much in the mix. I say week two or three of the NFL, he's probably the QB1 of some team out there. I don't know which one. All is going to come down to injuries and that kind of thing. But I don't think we've seen the last of Cam so far.
No, I don't think so. And I think whatever team he lands on, the question is what team he lands on. It would be a fit because with the rookies being drafted to the teams they were this year and with some of the QB races already solidified, I don't see a team out there that's like kind of burning for a quarterback right now. So
just Houston for me. That's the only one I can see. It's because we know that Watson's not very happy in Houston.
Actually, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
For a second. Thanks for bringing me back in. Houston, yeah, because like they're already trying to shop Deshaun Watson. I heard the Eagles were kind of in play for that, but then the Eagles – traded for Gardner Minshew. So who knows? Who knows what might happen with Cam? But I don't think Cam's going to call quits, and you're not going to see the last of him. But we'll see. What remains to be seen with his career. But you're right. It makes sense for the Ravens, but we'll see. Don't think it'll happen.
Yeah,
it's always something to do. But for the guys that did make it happen, I got the roster here. Want to go through with you position by position and just call out surprises, if anything that you were surprised to see with this list, or is there, you know, a different roster you like to see? So starting off, we already know QBs, Jackson and Huntley, as we know. Trace Michelle got brought back to the practice squad. I alluded to the first positions there. Edwards, Hill, and Williams. Williams and Hill are the three running backs. Specialist, but he's listed as a fullback, but he does play both sides of the ball. Our boy Pat Ricard is the lone fullback, but we know he plays defense and plays all these other crazy positions. He's kind of like that Swiss Army knife, as we
You got to have a guy like that.
Got to. Wide receivers. Here are the seven that made it. Brown, Watkins, Bateman, Boykin, Duvernay, Prochet, Wallace.
Now, I mean, everybody was very happy to see Prochet making that roster.
Big time. I was proud to see him make it. And I knew he was going to make it, especially catching a touchdown on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That boy earned it. He earned that spot. Wallace and Bateman, the draft picks from this year. Brown and Watkins, kind of a shoe-in. Duvernay, love seeing him back. I think Boykin, this is his last shot. A lot of fans were kind of like, Victor outplayed him in the preseason. We know Boykin didn't even touch the ball at all. He didn't get on the field. But I'm not saying I'm surprised to see Boykin there. I just feel like I thought he was going to get cut. But I'm going to say this may be the kind of like that last chance kind of deal with Miles Boykin in the wide receiver corps. But there's really no surprises there.
And we might not see him very often in the regular season. You know, he's probably fallen down that depth chart a little bit.
And the way they're listed, it's no particular order. I mean, I think they are listed in their depth chart order, at least what I have it. But wide receiver core, that changes constantly, especially with those seven. But tight ends, we've got Andrews, Boyle, and Oliver. Love that trio there. The O-line is no surprises. You have Stanley, Powers, Bozeman, Zietler, Villanueva, Ben Cleveland, obviously made the team. McCarry, Phillips, and Cologne. All right, so moving on to the defense, Brandon. We have the defensive line, Campbell, Williams, Wolf, Matabuke, and Washington. Inside linebackers, Queen, Harrison, Board, and Welch. And then we have the outside linebackers, Houston, Away, Bowser, Hayes, Ferguson. Our all-star corners, the cast is Humphrey, Peters, Young, Smith, Averett, Westry. And then rounding out the safeties, Chuck Clark leads the way, Sean Elliott, Stevens, Washington, and Stone. Then we have the new and improved Wolfpack is Tucker, Cook, and Moore. And that is the 53 Mighty Men of Baltimore as it stands for 2021 as of right now. Any surprises there? Any glaring players that are like, wow, like they made the team, or wow, they didn't make the team? Or is that who you probably thought across the board?
No real surprises. I think the only surprise really is that Anthony Levine Sr., he was cut, as well as Pernell McPhee. And Anthony Levine, we know he's back on the practice squad now. He was re-signed along with Trace McSorley. Westry, I was a little surprised that he made the roster. Overall, I'm very confident with this team. I think that there's a lot of talent, and I like the fact that it's a lot of young talent. Yes, they might be a little inexperienced, but they're learning, and I think everybody, for the most part, all 53 members of this roster are super talented. I'm very happy to see what the roster is right now. I think the offensive line, I didn't like that Lamar got hit twice against Washington, so there's definitely some work to be done there. But overall, I think this is a very, very confident roster, and this is definitely one, barring injuries like we've already seen, you know, this is one that definitely could go far.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see any surprises as well. It's pretty straightforward across the board of who we thought, you know, whether it was just locked in starters or players that emerged in the preseason. But I think the one surprise, if any, for me would be Pernell McPhee, a veteran and a vocal leader on this team. But it could be that the Ravens either like somebody better than what he can contribute, or it could be a whole youth movement. I don't know, but it's solid from top to bottom. And I feel like this is a roster that can get it done on both ends.
Absolutely. And like we said, we've been very confident with the defense and what they've been able to do in the preseason. I think that's going to continue over to the regular. The offensive line, though, is really, I think, the only question mark I still have is what can these guys really do? We only saw them as the offense that we're going to see in the regular season for just a few plays against Washington. And of course, what happened with Dobbins is why a lot of them got pulled. But let's see what these guys can do. You know, let's see what Lamar and Bradley Bozeman can do with now Bozeman at center. You know, we've got some great talent, Villanueva and big country, Ben Cleveland. I'm very excited to see what these guys can do. Ronnie Stanley's going to be back. He's going to be at full strength. So this is definitely going to be a contender team. You know, I hope I'm not just saying that as a fanboy of the Ravens, but this is definitely going to be a team that a lot of other teams are going to be scared to see, I should say, in the regular season. And that first game in Las Vegas against Lamar in Las Vegas, man, that is definitely going to be one to watch. That's going to be that's why they picked it to be the last game of opening regular season weekend. So I'm very excited to see this team. I'm very confident in this team. I'm very happy with the moves that they made. It seems as if they are going full steam ahead on this roster, and I'm all for it. Let's do it.
Yeah, man, I'm certainly all for it as well. I'm excited to get now looking towards the regular season, and it all starts to count this time. Maybe they can start a new streak of 20 in a row. If they do that, they could be Super Bowl champs.
Let's do it. I love it. Let's do it.
17-0 would be a first seed probably, because no one would probably beat that. And then you win three straight playoff games to go to a Super Bowl. So if they start a new streak at 20-0 this year, they are champions at the end of the year. So, and hey, but I pose a question to you is, speaking of that, before we even start rounding out the preseason, and then this week we're going to really talk regular season, but I want to ask you, given the expanded season this year, it's the biggest season yet, who do you think the first team on either side, the first team to go 17-0 and the first team to go 0-17?
I think the first team to go 0-17 will probably be the Cincinnati Bengals.
The other Ohio team, usually it's Cleveland.
Cleveland is going to – they're giving us a run for our money this year. I know it normally comes down to the North. It's usually the Ravens and the Steelers. The Browns are going to go for a run, I feel, this year. They have something to prove. And I know that the Steelers went, 11-0 last year. I don't see them doing that again. But Baltimore and Cleveland, those are going to be two games to watch – with your popcorn, because it's going to be a roller coaster that entire time. So I think Cincinnati, they got some work to do. 17-0, though, that's difficult because, I mean, there's so much talent in the NFL. I mean, you got to probably say something like the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. He's on another level. I mean, that's the obvious, easy answer. So I guess you would have to go, for someone to go 17-0, it would be against Mahomes. It'd have to be Mahomes.
It would have to be. I agree with you on the Chiefs going undefeated. The Patriots did it 16-0 a few years back with Tom Brady at the helm. I think I'm going to be indifferent on the 0-17, the first team, and it could be this year. The Houston Texans are just awful. They purged everybody. Their best defensive player is now a Cardinal. There's uncertainty at the quarterback helm with the once great Deshaun Watson. I think their strength on that team is the running backs. They pretty much got rid of all their receivers, including, you know, we know they got rid of Dodger Hopkins. Will Fuller's gone to the Dolphins. The running game is their strongest, and that's it. With David Johnson, and I think Mark Ingram's down there now as well. Yeah, Houston Texans can probably pull it off. Maybe you could say maybe the Detroit Lions, but I feel like there's a rebirth there with Dan Campbell at the helm. So
absolutely,
I don't think Detroit's going to be dead in the water as people think. And then they got Jared Goff. They got some players up there. I know Kenny Galladay jettisoned from the team to New York Giants. They got DeAndre Swift at running back. You know, I think they're going to be okay. So we'll see how it plays out. But just kind of wanted to throw it out there. This biggest season yet. We're looking forward to it, and I can't wait to get it going, brother.
Absolutely. And I think that's all we're really going to talk about this episode. We got the regular season to look forward to next week, but as far as reviewing the preseason and the 53-man roster, Josh, have we covered everything?
Quote the Raven, never murr.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Oh, it is always at ItalianGQ52.
And again, you guys can go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. We post something up there. Maybe we'll read your comment on the podcast. You never know. So make sure you're engaging with us, talking to us a little bit, and letting us know over how we're doing over on Facebook. So we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social, on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. I know, Josh, you know, you're going to take us out the way you always do, but this is more of a review of what we've seen. So I guess get us ready for the talk of the regular season next week, I guess.
You know how I'm going to roll. You know how I do.
I got all the faith in the world. So you do what you're going to do right now. Take us out the way you always do.
I will do what I do best, Brandon. And that's right. The next time the Ravens line up, it's going to be meaningful. There's no none of this second stringers, third stringers, when we're going to see the starters, keeping the starters out because they're going to get hurt. No, this is the real deal. Las Vegas style, the first regular season game for fans in Las Vegas. But not only that, but the Ravens are making history themselves. This is the first Ravens regular season game to be played in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Raiders newly minted for the second year, and can't wait to get it going in the new black hole. And it's going to be awesome. And Ravens get the sole spotlight on Monday Night Football. Me and Brandon are going to break it all down, covering it and kind of giving you a season preview, but not only that, but covering every inch of the Monday Night Football matchup is going to be, we're less than 2 weeks away. We're getting this ready. We're getting it. I mean, season's upon us. A week from Monday, the Ravens line up and play. A week from tomorrow, the NFL season kicks off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the champions, against the Dallas Cowboys, and Dak Prescott comes back. So everybody, this is the final weekend without football until February. Everybody enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Happy Purple Friday to everybody. And with that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.